Welcome back to the channel, guys. Today we are going to be going over the previous UFC fight night. There is lots of children playing outside my house right now, so if there's any background noise, that is why. This is also why I wish guns were legal in the UK. But let's forget about that and get stuck onto the fights. Probably one of the better fight nights of this year. The crowd was just absolutely just mental. How loud the crowd was compared to for UFC 302 in Brazil, no, 301 in Brazil, and you had all these Brazilian fighters like Aldo and Pantoja fighting, and then St. Louis just comes and delivers. You know, we need to go back there more because those guys really did help put on a great show. And all round the fights were really good too. A lot of highlight, real knockouts, a lot of great fights. And yeah, one of the better fight nights we've had in such a long time. A lot of people been complaining about maybe how strong the fight nights are built these days. But this one was definitely up there with one of the better ones. And getting into the first fight, JJ Aldridge against Veronica Hardy. Veronica Hardy, obviously, having Dan Hardy in her corner, took a lot of steps technically in the right direction in her career since she had that bit of a break on a 3-fight win streak now, and this being her biggest step up in competition. And JJ Aldrich, it was a decently close fight. JJ Aldrich in the first round was landing some good shots. Veronica Hardy was struggling to really find a range to land strikes, kind of always at a range where she didn't want to engage in any clinching or any takedowns, but she was also kind of out of range to even land the leg kicks that she was throwing. It took her a little bit of time to warm up into it. I do agree with the decision just overall. I do like the fact that even when Aldrich was getting Hardy in the clinch, you saw Aldrich holding against the fence multiple times, and Hardy would use one hand to fight an overhook or an underhook, and the other hand would be constantly fighting Aldrich's hand or pushing away on the face. We saw that a lot to separate space and land some good elbows, and that was really what started to cut up JJ Aldrich. And, you know, we know at this point the cuts on the face, the bruises, the damage, that does actually take into account in scoring. And Veronica Hardy managed to go most of the fight really not being hit with any major shots. Some single shots here and there, but she was the one pushing forward, landing the kicks. That's Veronica Hardy's mainly a kicker, just leaping into that space with body kicks, even tripling them up sometimes, throwing three in a row. So yeah, overall good performance from Veronica Hardy, a decent step up, probably going to be going into the rankings real soon, fighting up. So yeah, good step in her direction, because you know, if you listen to her and Dan Hardy, they do think she's good enough to go and fight for a title. So it'll be interesting to see who she fights next. Getting into the next one, Charles Johnson, Jake Hadley. This was probably one of my better picks on the card. I didn't do great on the main card on this one. I did good on the prelims. But Charles Johnson, overall, a pretty dominant performance over Jake Hadley. Jake Hadley technically is a very good fighter. It's crazy to think that he was at bantamweight once, because he does not look big at all for flyweight. Charles Johnson looked like a much bigger fighter. And to really beat Charles Johnson, you need to be able to control him, be stronger than him. You need to take him down and be able to hold him in certain positions, or be able to actually hurt him and land the bigger shots on the feet and get him going backwards. Because we saw in this fight, when Charles Johnson really got into the flow state, Jake Hadley wasn't really able to do anything to get him off. He kind of has that sort of hands low, not, I wouldn't say Bobby Green style, but kind of like, you know, always looking to counter your shots. He's really confident in his boxing approach. So overall, just able to land the bigger shots, the more cleaner shots constantly as well. The output was really impressive for Charles Johnson. Threw 88 strikes compared to Jake Hadley's 50, 70 significant, and obviously got the knockdown as well. Jake Hadley not really able to get much of a foothold in this fight. In the second round, he was doing okay until I think the knockdown did come at the end of the second round. So yeah, really dominant performance from Charles Johnson. And I think his UFC run that really does not show how good he is, because he beat Azkat Maxam in his last fight. Obviously, he was 17-0. And in some of his other fights, I know he's lost to Ole Osborne, and the Makhachev fight was really close, but I think now we're seeing him kind of reach a different level to what we saw him in that sort of Ole Osborne and Makhachev fight. I do think the Makhachev fight was really close. Makhachev was able just to control him a bit more than Jake Hadley, but overall this was kind of like the same, how that one was going on the feet, where Charles Johnson was really able just to push them back and land that solid jab. That was the story of the fight. So yeah, great performance by Charles Johnson, maybe even his best performance in the UFC, and yeah, he's looking to reach a new level now. Going on to the next one, probably the fight of the night. This was a really good fight. Billy Goff against Trey Waters. Waters did just eked out the decision win. Goff had to really try and close the distance. There was such a big high advantage. I think Trey Waters is like 6'5" or something like that. So trying to get on the inside against someone like that is not easy. We saw Goff just dip his head, and he was kind of going that Mike Tyson approach where you just got to get in the inside and slip those shots, and he was doing it very well and turn it into an absolute war. I do like the way he was shooting the takedowns to try and get in on him as well. If you're fighting these really tall guys, you can, even if you're not a wrestler, you can shoot those takedowns to get into the body lock position or push them against the fence, and then you're in a position to land your shots. And he was doing that very well. Trey Waters was just able to time him a lot more as he's coming in. We saw Goff kind of sprinting in at certain points, and yeah, he would use good head movement, but he'd get in and he wouldn't get out quick enough, and that was the story of the fight, really. Waters was just tagging him at the vital moments. I think Goff was on his way to winning round one, and he got a drop right at the end, so I don't know how you can score that one. And the other two rounds are just so close. I think round two went to Waters. Round three, it could have went to anyone. I think I just edged it to Goff, and it just depends how you score that little knockdown in round one. Because for me, I mean, technically, it's not scored as a knockdown. So if you don't score as a knockdown, I personally think Goff won that fight. Trey Waters, I just thought that knockdown might have edged it for him if the judges do score that. But on the stats here, it's not scored as a knockdown. It might have been in the actual like UFC stats, but it's just on Google. So yeah, not 100% if they scored that. If they didn't, I give the fight to Billy Goff. And yeah, really close fight. Happy they both got the 50k. I like it more when these fighters that aren't as well known get the 50k instead of, you know, they're giving Max Holloway 300,000 to all of the bonuses on UFC 300 when literally everyone on that card's got a decent finish pretty much. So yeah, glad they both got the bonus. Glad that Trey Waters went on. He's a really entertaining fighter to watch. So is Billy Goff. Billy Goff just a real brawler. So yeah, we're gonna see both of them in some really entertaining fights down the line. Going into the next one, this is actually the decision I don't agree with. Tabitha Ricci just edges out a decision against Tisha Pennington now, not Tisha Torres. But I think Tisha Pennington was able to just control distance on the feet a lot more, landing the better shots. Tabitha Ricci was probably scored the fight on control time. She got one takedown. I don't know how many minutes of control time she got against the cage, but she did land just a little more total strikes, less significant strikes. Tisha Pennington landing 80 significant strikes to Ricci's 54, so really did show she was landing the bigger shots. And yeah, just because she didn't have a more higher strike total, we looked for these big damaging shots, and I think that's what should have won Pennington the fight. Just didn't show great takedown defense throughout the whole thing. Didn't really let Ricci get any sort of dominant position on the ground. So yeah, I don't agree with this decision, but we'll move on. Who cares at the end of the day, right? They care, less money in their bank, but I'm all good. Terence McKinney versus Esteban Ribovic. This was an insane knockout. Terence McKinney actually did come out looking pretty solid. When I obviously watched the fight live, I just thought it happened so quick that, you know, he didn't really land any shots, got smoked. But he came out looking sharp, looking snappy, landing solid 1-2s. But Ribovic was just able to time him, kind of rushed in and had McKinney moving backwards. I don't think McKinney really likes pressure or necessarily likes being hit, maybe you can say, because you see some fighters in the pocket, they're so calm, like the really good strikers, they're just waiting for you to sort of kind of get so close, and they just look to slip those punches by just like a centimeter almost, maybe even let it kind of hit them. But Terence McKinney just kind of backs up weirdly, kind of just swings his head out of the way, and that's how Ribovic got him. He got him leaning backwards from the 1-2 where he rushed in and just followed up with the head kick and slumped him against the cage. Brutal knockout. And really, really impressive stuff from Esteban Ribovic. He is a really good fighter, been on a really good run at the moment. Everyone obviously really excited for him to be in the UFC. He was meant to fight Elvis Brenner, which would have been a banger. Maybe we can see that fight now after Elvis Brenner's coming off the loss. So yeah, exciting matchups for Esteban. I'd like to see him in him and Branner next. Going on to the next one, probably the most impressive performance of the night, Chase Hooper versus Borishev. Borishev, an absolute beast. We know how dangerous this guy is. And if someone told me Chase Hooper could beat someone like Borishev 2 years ago when Chase Hooper was this 19-year-old kid coming into the UFC, I would not have believed it. And Borishev just really struggled to do anything in this fight. The takedowns, he couldn't defend any of them. And even in the first round, when Chase Hooper didn't even need to shoot a takedown, I picked Borishev because Chase Hooper isn't necessarily a good wrestler. He doesn't shoot great double legs, or he didn't before anyway. And I thought Borishev would just be able to really push him back and do those things that we see him do all the time and just land those nasty body shots and break people on the feet. But Chase Hooper was not having any of it and knocks him down with a massive left overhand in the first round, and then takes control, gets on top, and proceeds to land 129 strikes to Borishev's 2. Borishev, he only got hit twice. Chase Hooper said in the Michael Bisping podcast that he was expecting to get beat up in this one, and it did not happen. Really just dominating the whole fight and able to get the finish. I don't think he actually did tap, but you know, he just saved him from another round of an absolute beating. At the end of the day, we know anything can happen in this sport, but you know, Borishev was not turning that around and winning that fight. So Chase Hooper, most impressive performance of his career, and for the first time since he joined the UFC, I could actually see him being a top contender now and going on and beating some really good names. And he even spoke about like having imposter syndrome a little bit. I mean, he didn't say those words, but that's kind of what he was getting out, where he was talking about sharing these cards with Volkanovski. Max Holloway was his debut, I think that was their first fight, and I think he mentioned Islam Makhachev sharing cards with these fighters and feeling like, well, he didn't deserve to be on the same card as them, and he doesn't understand why he's there, and now he feels he is getting to that level, and I'm just happy for him. He's got a really good story if you ever get a chance to listen to it. Just a nice kid, and we always knew he was a tough son of a bitch, and that can get you far in this sport. But now he's rounding out the skills, looks better and better on the feet each time, and has one of the nastiest jiu-jitsu games in the UFC. So yeah, Chase Hooper, an absolute beast. And now we're going to get on to someone who is the complete opposite of an absolute beast. Probably one of the biggest fraud checks I've ever seen since being a fan of this sport. Robles de la Spain against Waldo Cortez Acosta. An absolute just wipeout. Acosta just really dominating the fight on the ground. That's where most people would want to take it against De La Spain. And yeah, De La Spain just looked like he's never trained a day of mixed martial arts in his life. Whenever the fight touched the floor, didn't use his hips to get up, couldn't fight no hands, he wasn't doing anything right. Like, there's people that I've done a few jiu-jitsu classes, people in my gym that I'd been training for, you know, hardly any time that you even understand what to do in those positions. You know, it's wipeout level stuff what he was doing wrong, that really beginner level stuff. It is bad. And yeah, he's not going to get many wins in the UFC if he can improve on that really quick. So Acosta just really overall not a great performance from him either. Did okay on the feet, you know, he was landing some decent shots himself, taking some shots. It's not like he didn't give De La Spain the chance to land that big knockout shot that he's been landing on every single one of his opponents so far. And yeah, he kind of just took the sting out of him early by grappling him and just let the fight play out there. That it wasn't an impressive performance from either, but Waldo Cortez Acosta really stopping the hype train, and I'm sure that's what he'll be happy about. Going on to the next one, Alex Caceres against Sean Woodson. Again, a bit of a weird fight to score. I think maybe just about, you know, it was scored correctly. Alex Caceres lost the first round, and I'd say maybe just lost the third. You could give it to Alex Caceres, but I do think Sean Woodson just did land a bit more, especially the bigger strikes. And Sean Woodson. I mean, people talk about him being some elite boxer, but he is very good, but I can't, it's such an awkward style he's got, because he pumps out a Philly shell now and again. People are so quick to bite on that he's an elite boxer, but he's got one loss in his MMA career, and I'm really surprised he hasn't had more, because for me, there's ways to beat him, and you've really got to push him backwards. You've got to get on the inside and hit him with some big shots, because it's not like he's a massive power puncher. I mean, he's got decent power. We know he used to fight a light heavyweight, so I can't imagine featherweights. I mean, if he carries any of that power down, then I can't imagine if it was nice being hit by him at featherweight. So, yeah, I'm not sure if that's what's keeping people away or just the thought of how long and awkward he is. But you've got to really get a bite down on the mouthpiece. And actually, Caceres was doing that. He had a lot of success in this fight. But the main thing is, when he was getting Sean Woodson pushed against the fence, he wasn't necessarily taking every opportunity that was given to him, where he'd land a few good shots, 3-4, end the combination with a kick, and then just kind of let Sean Woodson circle out, where he should have been pushing him against the fence, trying to pull down on his head, tie clinch, should have been pushing that pace and looking to break him against the cage, because Sean Woodson did start slowing down. I think if Alex Caceres could have landed him on knees and punches from the clinch and really looked to slow him down and wrestled a bit more early on, I really do think he would have won this fight. So overall, it was an okay fight. Sean Woodson gets another win and moves on, probably going to be fighting a ranked guy next. So there's a few interesting matchups at featherweight. He looks like a hard guy to fight. Getting on to the next one, Diego Ferreira turning back the clock, beating Matas Rebecki, and overall a dominant performance. Rebecki did drop him badly in the first round, had a very good first round, and Ferreira just really showing his experience. We know what Ferreira's been through in this sport. He's been in the UFC for so long, been around the top 15 for so long, have fights against people like Dustin Poirier, beat Anthony Pettis, I think maybe fought Benil Dariush, I'm not 100% about that, but some real high level people on his resume. So we know you've got to be good to beat him, and it was a weirdly odd performance. How good his performance was, considering his age, and you know, he came back, knocked down Michael Johnson, then got another finish against Rebecca here, which is a really good win. You know, he was a big underdog for Ferreira, so probably one of the bigger wins that's come to him recently. He'll get probably a decently big fight out of this, and Rebecca just looked good but didn't have the experience to go three rounds. You can tell he's used to steamrolling people, and once he didn't finish him in that first round, Ferreira just took over, and Ferreira is just so good everywhere the fight goes. The teep kicks to the body were really just tiring him out, and the jiu-jitsu looked insane as well. Anytime he got taken down, he was able to reverse the submission. He did a really nice pull down on the head and swept round to the back, and he is just an overall really good fighter, high level black belt, good striker. So yeah, one of the better performances in his recent years. Ferreira just completely dominating in the end, but Rebecca will be back. He's a solid fighter. Going on to the next one, Alonzo Menafield, Carlos Ulberg. Really just surprising that Alonzo Menafield just went out like that. Obviously, I'm not going to spend loads of time on this one, because he just decided to sprint at Carlos Ulberg, and Carlos Ulberg hurt him with the shot that we've seen him get so many people with, his check hook, one of the most dangerous check hooks in the sport right now. He's such a technical striker and looks so powerful and athletic. I think he used to play like football or rugby or something like that, so he comes from an athletic background, and he looks to be a step above all these guys just outside the rankings or around that top 15. So he needs a big fight next. Maybe like if you want to push him, because, you know, he's got an entertaining style. I think he's on a 6-fight win streak, and it maybe all finishes but one. So, maybe like a Jan Blachowicz next. I don't know what Anthony Smith wants to do, but maybe you could send him to get murdered by Carlos Ulberg. So there's a few interesting matchups you could do with Carlos Ulberg, but he's got to be pushed into that top 10 now. And, overall, 12 seconds, that's the easiest money he's ever made in his life. And, going on to the next one, Jacquan Buckley against Rizabayev. Hometown performance, really just up for the crowd, dominated the fight. Rizabayev could not stop the takedowns. That was the main problem early on when he was sort of landing shots, because Buckley, he's not the hardest guy to hit. He does kind of dip his head in and out and just side to side, that not necessarily doesn't put on a plate for you, but you can sort of time him and land a big right hand. We've seen a lot of people knock him out at middleweight, and Rizabayev was landing a couple of big straights. He's got, that's his main weapon, you know, just that he throws that one too. that right hand is so powerful as Rezabayev's. But anytime he got Buckley moving backwards, Jaquan Buckley would just turn into an NFL footballer and just completely sprint for him like he wasn't there and just fling him in the air. The wrestling was really impressive. Able to hurt him with the ground, and not hurt him, but able to damage him with the ground and pound, which won in the first round. And then from there on out, it was completely dominant. I think he dropped him in the second round. And then third round, just the takedown and the ground and pound was just brutal. He started really breaking Rezabayev. And yeah, Buckley looking just a whole different beast at welterweight. His chin looks better. He's way quicker. This time he did have the height disadvantage that he had to fight against. But in most of his fights, he's not doing that. So he doesn't have to do those crazy movements where he's kind of just dipping side to side and leaping at you. But yeah, Buckley's just an animal. He doesn't look like a fun guy to fight. And he's another guy who's got to be moving into sort of top 10 territory. You got to give him a good ranked opponent after beating Luque and then Rezabayev on reasonably short notice after he called for it at that press conference a few weeks ago. Getting into the main event now, Derek Lewis adding another knockout, so he is now, I think, two in front of Matt Brown in second, I think, with most knockouts in the UFC. And yeah, that he'll just keep improving on that now, obviously, after the Matt Brown retirement. But yeah, this fight, Derek Lewis said he wanted to show us something different. He kind of did a little bit. He got a couple takedowns in there early on. And yeah, we saw him get in some bad positions on the ground. Nascimento able to get kind of mount a couple times. But you're better off just dead in half guard. Because as soon as you mount Derek Lewis, he just, you know, flips his hip. I think posts his hip, I think is called. And just shoves you with his right arm. And he just stands up. It's just crazy, the technique on doing it. And I was listening to a podcast. There is actually coaches who teach it. It's not just like the get up technique like we all think it is. But yeah, he was able to land the bigger shots on the feet. And Nascimento really showing a good chin as well, because Derek Lewis, his output was a lot more in this one. 50 strikes in three rounds for Derek Lewis, and 47 strikes, and 41 of them all landed significant. So yeah, that the striking percentage for Derek Lewis there is crazy. And really just able to land those big shots, and that big 1-2 came at the end of the fight, able to really hurt Nascimento, and there's no getting up for it. He did well again to not just get put out cold, but we've seen Derek Lewis just almost murder half the sort of heavyweight division that are lurking around that top 15, and he almost did it again here. But Nascimento just proved to have a better chin than most, took some big shots. He looks like a decent fighter. He looked okay. Like, I'm more excited to see him back than Wilder or Cortez Acosta or any of those sort of guys. So Derek Lewis, probably, I don't really know who you can get him to fight next. If Derek Lewis makes the company a lot of money, they'll probably put him into quite a decent big fight next. Maybe like run the Tai Tuivasa rematch back off the top of my head. That would be a good one. Pavlovich Volkov a fight, maybe the loser of that. I know they will probably have to take some time off, because whoever loses that is going to get knocked out cold. But yeah, Derek Lewis, there's a few good fights you can make from at this point. And yeah, that's all we're going to talk about today. That's the main fights from UFC last weekend. This weekend's breakdown will be out tomorrow, and there's a few more interesting things to talk about as well. There's obviously Tyson Usyk this weekend, which I'm sure you're all as excited for as I am. But make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel as well, because the views are doing okay, but the subs aren't going up. So if you are enjoying the videos, just subscribe. Let me know you're enjoying them. Rate us 5 stars on Spotify, and I hope you enjoyed.